real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Hi, Niall. I know you're on the subject of the NCT. Just with regard to the social distancing thing, I work for a bus company in Dublin, which I won't mention. I just finished work. I can tell you, all day, since 5 o'clock this morning, there's people getting on the bus and they're literally breathing down each other's necks, and they're still the exact same as they were before the precautionary measures came into place. Getting on and being, I mean, they're breathing in each other's air, getting on and off the bus, and people aren't being courteous to anyone, like, you know, to each other, to elderly people especially. I notice a lot of elderly people on the particular areas that I'd be in, and just nobody at all is really looking out for anybody else or themselves, for that matter. I think it's a big issue, and especially, I mean, you're confined in a box. When you're on a bus, you're actually breathing in everybody else's air, so it's worse.
All right, well, look, and well done to all the bus drivers, of course, who are continuing to work, and the Lewis drivers and everybody else. Well, the Lewis, they're in their own little cabin, I suppose, and so it's slightly different. But I think the rule is, you know, if you're standing at a bus stop, even though there may not be lines on the ground as there would be in supermarkets and everywhere else, try and keep your distance from people when you're getting onto the bus. And, you know, you have to obviously produce your card for the driver or whatever it is. Please keep your distance from the person in front of you and behind you. And when you do get on the bus, don't sit beside somebody, I suppose. Now, I don't know what the rules are getting on the bus, and maybe our bus driver could help me and WhatsApp me back and let me know. Is he limiting the amount of people that get on the bus? So if a bus holds, I don't know how many people a bus holds. 75 people? What does a bus hold? I haven't a clue. If a bus holds 75 people, are they only letting on 25? In other words, to leave at least 3 seats space between people or whatever. I don't know if they're limiting the amount of people getting on the buses. I don't know. But mind you, there wouldn't be as many people obviously getting on buses at the moment as there was before, depending on the area. But he is right. If there is elderly people particularly, try and keep your distance and try and just be courteous, I suppose, is the thing, isn't it? The social distancing as well, but just be courteous to other people and, you know, and give them a bit of space as you're getting on. There's no rush. Matt, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good now. Yourself now?
Good, Matt. I mean, your job involves visiting other people. I don't want to know who you work for, but what do you do?
Pretty much auditing, basically.
Right, okay. So your job involves visiting other companies and people and self-employed people, I'm assuming, as well, who would be, you know, getting an audit or having an audit. And for you, that becomes that's a difficulty then.
It can be. I can manage it myself with social distancing, but my company is, in fairness, I'm gone above and beyond to make sure that I'm safe. But what I'm seeing in factories is that it's just not being done at all, any social distancing or anything like that.
Right, okay. So your observations going into bigger companies, that people are just kind of, are they carrying on as normal or are they making some efforts?
You can see the gloves are being used a lot.
Right.
And there's hand sanitizers cable tied a lot around anywhere that they can be stuck on, but it's mainly the distancing thing is not being enacted at all.
See, the whole thing with the gloves, right? The gloves are only useful if you're changing them regularly. Gloves are a feck all use if you're just wearing them all day. So if you're
I've seen people going into the fellas' toilets, taking them off, you know, inside out, blowing them up, and
putting them back on again,
and putting them straight back on again.
No,
with disposable gloves, you can use hand sanitizer on your gloves.
Of course, just like your hands, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, but that's. I don't think people are really kind of getting that matter either.
Yeah, see, this is what I spoke about earlier on with the gloves, particularly, say, in a setting of a supermarket. The gloves are of no value unless they're changing them between each customer.
Exactly.
You know, or they're hand sanitizing them, right, as you rightly said, in between customers, but then you might as well be just using your hands, I suppose. So the gloves are of not much value to anybody unless, like a nurse or a doctor, you're changing them after every procedure or every patient. They're not much use, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
So, and in relation to social distancing, there are certain jobs where social distancing is almost impossible.
I've seen it with the likes of canteens when I go into factories and the like, and which is fair enough, and they are trying to do their best. They have lines. They're not letting people lean over the hot deli counters like they used to. You know, there's not much as for conversation, but it's the line. You've people keeping, fair enough, your 2 metres distance, but you'll have two people standing beside each other.
Yeah. And we said that this morning about the construction industry, for example. There is still construction going on around us here at Classic Hits, and not as much staff as there usually would be. and there's a local spar shop who are very good. They have the lines on the ground and they're keeping, you know, the social distance rules in play for the deli counter and everything else. But so then they all come out and sit beside each other on the wall and they're sharing and they're sharing stuff. Now, I know they're all mates and they all know each other and all that kind of thing. But of course, some of them do have maybe elderly parents or elderly friends or whatever. So we kind of have to. I know it's difficult for everybody because we're Irish and we're used to being together and we're very social creatures. So it is difficult for everybody. And I suppose unconsciously sometimes we break those rules.
Yeah, people seem to be treating it like a personal preference, like as in like, oh, I don't mind, I can deal with it, but it's for the bigger picture that this is being done.
Yeah, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what you think, it's the person you're close to, they might not like it. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, the person you're going to walk past and maybe cough into your sleeve as you're walking past, they're only a foot away, they could have very bad asthma.
Yeah.
You know, any of the like, some people I've talked to are comfortable, some people have accepted it, like
yeah.
myself.
Yeah.
I meet an awful lot of people today. I know my chances of getting this virus are very, very strong.
Yeah.
But what I need to do what I do with...
And look, you're a young person. Well, you don't sound too old anyway, but you're a reasonably... I'm guessing you're somewhere in your either late 20s or early 30s.
Hang on.
Okay, so you're in around that. So you're reasonably safe, but it's who you obviously interact with. You don't want to pass it on to somebody else. And that's the important part, you know?
That's it, because I would go around doing what I need to do and then I would be meeting up with, say, someone who would be the head of maintenance
yeah.
or facilities. And to be in that position, the chances are you've had to have been in that company for about 20 or 30 years. So you are in that age bracket and that's where it is for me. I'm going around, I'm talking to all these people and then I'm going into a confined room with this person.
Can I ask you a personal question, by the way? Just seems you're on
sure.
the air and you mentioned the word auditing, right? Does the job of auditing, right, and looking at figures all day, I always feel sorry for accountants and everybody who's that kind of, does it not drive you bonkers? Because when I have to do, you know, tax returns or VAT returns, I'm sitting at the computer and I have to set aside, you know, 5 or 6 hours at a time or whatever, and I'm going, I just don't want to do this. Does it not drive you mad?
Absolutely mind-numbing, and especially with, nobody likes to see me walking onto a site,
yeah.
which is understandable, because before I did this, I was the exact same when I saw a person in my position coming on. But you're following strict guidelines and you have to come up to people and you have to be very nitpicky. Something that could be so small, but you have to do...
Because that's your
everything
job.
By
yeah.
the book.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I feel bad for people. I'm like, I'm sorry, I know that this is completely mundane and meaningless, but this has to be done
yeah.
for me to be able to give you like a clean bill of health, basically.
Yeah, because it's in everybody's interest. I know there's jobs out there that people like the clampers and other jobs out there like the people think, how could you possibly do that to people? But everybody yeah. has a job because that's the way society works and we have to have money. And the state has to have money as well, so we understand it. But I it's just the actual job itself. I would be sitting there going, oh no, I can't go to another day of looking at people's numbers, more numbers. I just couldn't do it.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Even if I have to take a phone number off someone on my weekend off, even just seeing 08 pop up on my phone, it's yeah. mind-numbing. It's just a reminder.
But look, you chose that. That was your chosen career, Matt. Enjoy it. Listen, Matt, I get the point you're making, and it's just everybody be conscious, even if you're not too, you know, you don't care too much about getting it. And mates of mine have said that, oh, sure, look, I wish I could just get it and get it over with. That's all well and good, but it's the people around you that you have to be conscious of, and I get
and
that.
And there's no proof that you're going to build an immunity to this, like they would assume you would. Once you've got it, you won't catch it again, because it's unknown. It's
absolutely
unknown.
At the moment,
you don't know if you're not going to get it. Say if you get it, you're fine for 2 weeks. You could actually get it again.
Well, there's only, at the moment, from what we know, there's only one case of that, and that was in Japan, and we believe that person actually wasn't really over it. But you're right, there are virologists out there who said it can evolve into different strains where you might get it again, just like the flu that we continually deal with for the last few centuries. Thank you for that, Matt. Let me just go to Richard as well. Richard, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Richard?
Hey, Niall. How are you doing today?
You witnessed something nice today.
I did, but... You know, it's kind of a heartbreaking, beautiful moment.
Right.
I've been parked outside CUH Maternity Hospital since 11:30, actually.
So right.
Dads-to-be are not allowed in at the moment.
Are they not? So they can't have a birthing partner?
No. Well, yes, for the birthing, I believe so. But just for the regular antenatal checkups, no, we're not allowed in, you know.
Right, you have to sit outside and wait.
So, yeah, in fact, my partner, my fiancé, was also told... Until she gets a call, she's not allowed in, you know.
Wait, and how many months is she pregnant, by the way?
Oh, we're only about 4 or 5 weeks away now from...
Right, congratulations. Life-changing moment, trust me.
Indeed.
Is this your first?
No, we've got two already.
So oh, well, then you're used to it. All right, okay.
But as I sat here, you know, we were just watching what was going on, and I saw this elderly couple kind of standing away from a car, and there was clearly a father waiting for his baby to come out of the hospital.
Right, okay.
And I thought, oh, geez, look at this. Like, I mean, Dad can't even go in and pick up his baby, you know?
Right.
So I kind of watched a bit closer, and time went on, and my fiancé got called in, and so I'm idling the hours here, literally. But from there, it's a beautiful day here, so I stepped outside the car, and I was just saying, you know, I said to these grandparents, you know, are you all doing, are you excited? And they said, oh, my God, we're meeting our two beautiful babies.
Yeah.
I was like, you're kidding me, you're getting twins today.
Right.
And, you know, a little bit of time went by, and I just watched them getting ready to take a video, and I said, surely, you know, somebody should be capturing their moment for them as well. So I switched on. I asked them beforehand, and I said, look, I'm going to record you recording them. And out come these beautiful twins, and that's beautiful in its own right, but geez, the heartbreak was that, you know, they all had to stay 10 feet away.
So they couldn't get close to their two new little grandkids.
No, I mean, there was people around behind me watching them as well. People were bawling.
Oh, no. Because grandparents would love to have a hold. Can I have a shot?
Come on. I mean, you were talking there about, you know, it's the most natural thing in the world to you know, it's purely counterintuitive is my point. You know?
It is, yeah. And I can imagine the scene. I haven't seen it, but I can see it in my mind. And I can see doting grandparents and the mother with the two babies and the dad with the two babies. Yeah. And they're just dying to have a little hold of them and sniff them and smell them and cuddle them.
And there was other kids in the car as well. I mean, it's just confusing for young kids. And
yeah,
you know,
and you know what? It's really hard for grandparents. My heart goes out to them because they are the most vulnerable at the moment.
And now these people today, I mean, Mom and Dad were going back to Killarney, and the grandparents were going back to Macroom. You know, I mean,
oh no,
they're not going to see those babies for a few weeks.
No, they'll see photographs. That's all they'll see.
They'll see photos, of course. It is what it is.
Ah, look, it's a lovely story, but it's a sad story, isn't it? In a way,
yeah, and that's my point. It's counterintuitive as a positive story, but look. You know, these are the times we live in right now.
Yeah.
But those babies, regardless, man, they're fine, fit and healthy, and they're going home.
And by the way, to all those people with new babies, I know there's a huge concern about new babies. And I only heard one of the heads of the maternity hospitals on the other day talking about this. I think it was Hollow Street. And they were talking about the fact that, generally speaking, new babies, look, they won't have a problem getting the coronavirus. If they did, they can fight it off. They can build up antibodies really quickly. But it's the last thing you want to do is put a child or a new baby through that kind of stress and that trauma of having, a raised temperature or having a virus of any type, even for a short period of time. But I suppose I think the concern is more so not for the new baby. It's for the grandparents, probably. You know,
invariably it is. Yeah. Look, I mean, you know, all we can do is support each other and, I sent them that video, so...
By the way, I've just been told in my ear that some hospitals are actually restricting fathers from being at the birth. So I know.
We'll see how that develops in the next
Although
year.
we have done topics before in relation to, is it the ideal place to be honest with you. But hold on. Anyway, you want to be there, I suppose. Listen, thank you for that. It's a wonderful story. All right, thanks very much indeed. Let me go to Ellie as well. Ellie, you're in Classic Kids. How are you doing, Ellie?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm so sad thinking of these two grandparents, and I can see the image of them doting over their little twins and not being able to hold them or smell them or cuddle them. Or
do what grandparents do best.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellie, you work in a nursing home. Well, you're off today.
I'm off today. It's a big... take a breath, isn't that it?
Yeah, and of course, for healthcare workers, 25% of the new cases that are coming along of COVID are healthcare workers and people in the industry, to speak, because you're putting yourself at risk. But working with elderly people, you have to be that extra bit careful, I suppose.
We do, sure thing. We're definitely taking more precaution than usual. But I think it's going to be a massive reality check for everyone.
Yeah.
But people aren't giving each other enough credit as well, because this isn't the norm for Ireland. You know, it's not the norm for us. We don't do these things. We don't stay a metre away.
No, we're very social people. We love hugging the shite out of each other.
I was even saying to my dad last night, I didn't know how touchy-feely I was with people until now. you know, even if I was talking to someone in a normal conversation, I'm touching their arm or touching, you know.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just hoping, that's what I said to Tara, when this is all over, and it will, don't worry, it'll be all over soon.
Yeah, of course.
I hope we can all go back to the way we were. But maybe we've learned something, you know, I mean, in relation to, say, coughing and sneezing and, you know, we should do that into our elbows all the time. I think that's something we should continue on doing. And washing our hands more often, I think that's good, because certainly when it comes to the flu virus itself, that can be quite dangerous for elderly people anyway.
Of course,
So, I mean, that's something we all have to be conscious of. But I'm hoping we can get back to touching each other and hugging each other and shaking hands and doing what we do best.
For sure, yeah, definitely.
You know,
even when I walked in last night, you know, we're trying to just keep our distance in the house and stuff. It's me and my dad, and he will go into the next room and we'll be having a chat. And it's just
to
so
the door.
Strange.
Yeah, I know. And how are the elderly people that are in the
home? They're good. So where I am in the nursing home is I'm in a dementia-specific unit. So, you know what?
Okay.
Niall, they don't know. And
no, they don't.
They're better off.
Yeah, they are better off not known.
Yeah.
And even though they're in that circumstance where obviously they wouldn't be very conscious of what's going on around them, are you kind of trying to socially distance them?
Big time, yeah. Even our tables now, we've gone from maybe 5 or 6 chairs around a dining table to just 3. Our activities, of course, we'd usually do it in a big group, whereas now we're doing it three separate groups and, you know, just trying to keep them as stimulated as possible. We also have families coming up to the windows, maybe calling their mum, calling their dad, having a little chat for a bit, and, you know, everyone's just trying to...
And what are they saying? Because even though they may not be conscious and have the best memory in the world, and they're maybe not conscious of the world around them as much as they used to be, you know, having dementia, are they saying that until you're like, well, why aren't they coming into us?
You know what? They are. And even the staff and myself were talking the other day and we were saying, you know, these people from a Monday to Friday, normally when they have their visitors coming in, maybe visiting them 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, you know, where is my daughter? Where is my son? Where, you know,
why aren't they coming to see me?
Yeah, they know. They're, you know.
Yeah, because they may have dementia, but they're not stupid. You know what I mean?
No, they're not. No.
You know, and because with dementia, they may not remember things that they should remember from a long time ago, or may not remember who somebody is, but they do know that somebody comes to see them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And it breaks that cycle that they have going, those thoughts that they have going. It breaks it.
Yeah.
Just for that 5 or 10 minutes or whatever. But a funny thing happened the other day. A resident, myself, we were just having a chat. We were looking out the window and trying to see anything, a fly, whatever.
Something to talk about.
And he brought up the Spanish flu.
Right. Coincidentally, he just brought up
completely out. And on any given day, it wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference to me. But I just thought, why are you saying this?
Why are you talking about the Spanish flu right
what
now?
What do you mean? Tell me what you see.
And what did he say about the Spanish flu?
Just how many people died from it, and aren't we living in such a look at the world we live in now kind of thing?
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Little does he know.
Yeah.
And probably wouldn't have any understanding of what's going on now.
Yeah.
But look, it's wonderful, and thank you very much for the great work you guys do. I think, you know, and I must kind of give you a big head or trying to patronise you or anything like that. But say that. I suppose we don't appreciate healthcare workers and doctors and nurses and as much as we appreciate them right now. That's the point,
isn't it? No, definitely not. And especially like the nurses and healthcare staff inside the hospitals. I'm in a nursing home, you know.
Yeah.
But in the hospitals at the moment, they're second to none.
Because they're putting their own lives at risk as well.
Yeah.
You know, and for no extra money that they're doing it. They're putting their own lives at risk for everybody else. Listen, thanks very much indeed, Ellie, and thanks and good luck and safe to you and safe to all your patients as well.
All right,
thanks.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Ellie, who works, I suppose, as a healthcare worker in a nursing home with elderly people, which is very difficult at the moment because many of them don't understand really what's going on in the world around them, and they're probably better off not knowing, to be honest with you. If you want to text in, by the way, tell us where you're working, what business you're with, by the way, because I know every business is suffering badly, you know, and if you want to give your business a bit of a plug, you can do that. We'll do it free on the air. It's a public service for you, all right, to maybe boost your little bit of your business. Tell us what you do for a living, what you're selling, what service you're providing. Give us the name of the company. If you want to, you know, give it a bit of a plug on the air, a free bit of advertising, we'll help you out do that today, all right, as well, okay? Because I know people are hard-pressed at the moment, all right? Somebody says, we're called SAP Powder coating. We paint anything steel, metal, aluminium. Any roofing companies or shoplifters looking for anything done, contact us at asappowdercoating@hotmail.com. We turn 90% of jobs around in 24 hours. We're a family business who has to stay open unless everywhere is shut. Also as well, this morning actually I had the good deed of going down and bringing my son down to High Tech Wheels, who are opening. All the lads down there in High Tech Wheels, they spray wheels, by the way. They do a wonderful job, by the way, of recoating your wheels when they get badly damaged. Another person says, hi Niall, Michael here from MK Elite Repair. We repair and restore car interiors, leather, vinyl, plastic, and I'm still working, not as busy as before obviously, but still a few cars a day. Most of the main dealers are closed now, but small garages are still open. Best regards and health from everybody. Stay safe. Yeah, of course, a lot of people have big contracts with the main dealers, just like the lads from High Tech Wheels I was talking to this morning. They do all the stuff for, you know, I think BMW and a few other companies. But of course, because their business is affected, it's a knock-on effect for other people as well. It might have contract deals with them as well. So indeed, it's tough for everybody. Let me go to Carol. Carol, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Carol?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. We couldn't give away that €590 today, but Carol, you never know. PJ and Jim might give it away tomorrow. It'll be £600 tomorrow. Or Monday, should I say. Monday. £600.
I know.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? I could do with 600 quid myself. Carol, you met your grandson.
Yep.
Even though the social distancing, but you met him through the what?
Through the window.
Through the car window.
It was actually the house window.
Oh, right,
okay. Standing outside the house, looking through the window. Oh, it was so surreal.
I know, you just want to grab him and hug him.
Yeah, I know. It just, and I even went to one window, back around to the window, to get a different angle.
to kind of see him in 3D.
Yeah. Out his little legs and all, show me his little long toes, and I couldn't touch them. I could just put my finger to the glass.
And how old is he?
He was born on Mother's Day.
Right.
And I saw him on Tuesday morning. He was 8 days early, but he was £9.2.
Right, okay. And I know, and a grandmother just—they want to hold, they want a shot, like to hold them.
And the other two little lads inside, and the 3 and 6, her older little boys, and like the little 3-year-olds. But why can't they go out and see Nanny?
I know.
It was awful.
I'm sorry, Nanny, Carol.
But it was still worth it. I mean, it's 120 miles down and 120 back, and we bought our sandwiches in tinfoil in the car and all. There's no restaurant.
Right. And so you drove 120 miles just to look through the window.
Yeah, I know. But I left the presents outside and flowers for her as well.
Of course you did.
Yeah, and all the presents.
It's really tough. I mean, we don't, you know, us that are kind of going about our daily routines, you know, within reason, who are still working, stuff like that, and maybe, and, you know, those people who have kids, you know, you're still with your kids every day in the house, even though you're isolated in the house. We don't think about the grandparents because they're their kids too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you kind of miss the hugs and the...
Yeah. And what you know, can I ask you how old you are, Carol?
Yeah. 57 the other day.
Well, you're not really in the high risk category, right? Unless you have an underlying condition. But in saying that, I'm not encouraging that. By the way,
really. Yeah. It was just to protect them.
Yes.
I don't care about myself. That's my problem. I'm laughing because I was born in 63. I think you might be too.
I know.
And
so
it was
I.
Great year. You know, I always was proud and family. Well, my year was historic.
What month were you born in? Sorry,
I was March 1963, and I saw John F. Kennedy in June. When I was a tiny baby, but I think this little fella is going to outdo me as the historic year somehow or other.
Right, yeah, well, you're a bit older than me. Only a few months, by the way. Only
but
by
it was
a few
great
months.
Year, like.
It was a great. I have to say, 63 was probably the best year because we were born, Carol.
I know exactly. Yeah.
But look, hopefully you'll get to see them very, very soon. You know, hopefully this won't last for too much longer. They kind of, I suppose, all these kind of things we have to do and these measures that we have to take to stop other people from getting it more so than stop you.
And it's just little babies change so much. You know yourself, like, they change so much, like, in 6 weeks and then maybe 3 months. I'm thinking, gee, I hope he's not sitting up before I see him. But that's why I don't mind, like, just even looking in. I still could see him and it was better than photographs.
Yeah, well, Maura, one of my biggest fans, by the way, Maura texts in, she says, I've rosary beads around my neck, around my legs, and around the radio. Yeah, yes, she probably has, by the way, making sure we're all safe, keeping us all safe. But listen, it's a lovely story, but it's not a nice story in the sense that I know you just want to grab that little baby and squeeze it and
it's
hold
the first
it.
Cuddle-like.
Yeah, I know,
Because he was only 2 days old.
I know.
I saw him.
And you're missing the baby smell, you know, the baby smell. And touching their little digits, their little fingers on their little toes,
And he was clinging onto a finger and he kept wriggling up his nose. You see, the sun was shining his eyes. He was wishing I'd just go away, I think.
I know.
Because the sun was shining, he was like, just tickle away. He wouldn't open his eyes, just tickle
I love
away.
Little babies. I love the size of their little fingers. And when you look at a newborn baby, right, and you see their tiny, tiny little fingers. They're like little weenie sticks, yeah. Right? But yet they've perfectly formed nails. Isn't it just...
Perfectly.
Isn't it astonishing?
And the way he was playing, he was holding her finger and then she took out his little leg, which he didn't. He was a bit disgruntled, to see his little toes because he's got long toes.
Oh, right.
And they were perfectly like... And
straight,
long
straight
like.
Toes.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly.
Not like us old people who raggedy bent toes. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's just so perfect. I know. And not even that tiny because the fact that he was 9'2". He wasn't what you call a tiny
no, he
baby,
wasn't,
but
no.
he's still very small when you see him.
Yeah, he made a good entrance into the world at 9'2", in fairness.
He surely did, like, and he days early like that. Oh, yeah. Stop it. An all-night event it was. For
okay, so what's his name?
Sam,
that's a lovely name.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Okay, and what's his mum and dad's name? Give them a mention there.
It's Brian and Claire. Claire is my daughter and her husband, Brian. And they're now tied in the house with the three children because Brian is very protective of the baby naturally enough.
Of course he would be, yeah,
and
of course.
They're all just in the house and all the plans of people that were going to help her out because three children, nobody can do anything.
No, I know.
They're just, you know, but they're mustering through. Like, and at least the weather's good for the other two can go outside in a big garden so they can go outside.
All right, well, look, big hello to all them, okay? And I hope you get to hold them very soon, all right?
Hopefully.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, see you. Bye. By the way, some businesses, by the way, texting in. Richardson's Brothers suspended ceilings and partitions and general building maintenance. Of course, because hardware shops are still open because we all need our bits and pieces of hardware. Yeah, they're all open there, Richardson's Brothers. And also, hi, Niall. Paula here from Flomax Limited. We are an engineering company open as usual, supplying the pharmaceutical and food industry. Hopefully, we will remain open to service the industry. And I hope you do. And I know business is tough at the moment for everybody, by the way, particularly those in small businesses. So text us in and we'll give your business a mention on the air if we can, okay? A little bit of public service for all those businesses who are trying their best to stay open and keep supplying people. Heaney Meats Catering in Galway still working away, supplying hospitals, nursing homes, care homes all over Ireland. We were hit a bit hard as we supplied most hotels and restaurants around Ireland. Brian here and the Dublin route driver. Okay, of course, a lot of businesses were hit, particularly those who have supplied the hospitality industry, particularly like radio stations ourselves. By the way, most of our advertising comes from hospitality and holiday companies and airlines, and we've been hit hard with advertising as well. So all those other businesses around the country, if you want to mention, sideline business now I run. It's called Kev's Lonely Lady Services. Cheers. Kevin Limerick. Kev, I'm sure you do run a little business like that on the side. Some of the messages coming in. Somebody says, if you can give us a mention, by the way, I work for Bumbleance, like ambulance, and we are still on the road transporting sick children to specialised appointments as we are a charity that gets no funding. We rely on solely on donations. So if you could kindly ask people to text fuel, is it? Is that right? To 50300 to donate €2. Of course, remember that will cost you €2 in your tax, okay? So it's 50300 and text the word, is it fuel? Is that right, Alina? Yeah, okay. Text the word fuel to 50300 to donate €2 to keep us on the road at this time. So that's bringing obviously very sick children, to appointments, and they're called Bumbleance. They don't get funded by the state, obviously. Loads of other people, by the way, want to plug their business as well. I'll try and get to mention some of them. Somebody said Clio Enterprises in Ballymount still supplying our customers and throughout, and they do straight to door retail service. Okay, so if you want to give them a ring, they do straight to door retail service, so they'll deliver to your door, and it's Clio Enterprises. Prizes in Ballymount, and I'm sure you can Google them there as well. Let me go to Mary. Mary, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Mary?
How you doing, Niall?
Good, Mary. You just rang up for a chat.
I did.
Right, okay. And is there any particular that you'd like to chat about?
Tell my husband he's to go up to the spare room, that we shouldn't be in the same bed together. Because he's too close to me.
So your husband is not social distancing?
No, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to go to the spare room.
But you're his wife.
I don't care. We're 43 years married.
Right.
But I need a chill out, a night on my own.
Right. And why does he? Is he breathing heavy on you?
Yeah, and he snores and farts like a trooper.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you believe he should set up the spare room for a bit of social distancing?
Yes.
Right, okay.
His spare bedroom. He can go up there and sleep up there.
Have you suggested it to him?
What, love?
Have you suggested that to him?
I did say it to him, but
Right.
He kind of looked at me as if to say, are you mad?
Right, well, yeah, that's probably the reaction you'd get from most husbands in these situations, yeah.
Yeah.
And is he, I know it's daytime radio, Mary, but is he looking for something in particular in the bed?
Kind of, sort of, but
yeah.
He can shag off.
Yeah, he can shag off, yeah. Particularly at this, even for just, give you a 3 month corona break, I suppose.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right, okay. And is there, and are you willing to, in return for that, is there anything you're willing to do?
Well, I'm doing all the basics that I have to do.
Yeah, you're looking after him, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you feeding him?
Of course I'm feeding him.
Are you ironing?
Yes.
Okay, well, so you're doing all that. So tell him to leave it out just for three months.
Yeah.
Get into the spare bedroom. What's his name?
John.
John, get into the spare bedroom, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring your stuff in there, but get a little man cave going. You can bring a little telly in as well if you wanted to.
I'm enjoying listening to your show every day.
All right. Thanks, Mary. It's lovely chatting to you.
All right.
See you, bye. By the way, can I mention as well, Candle Mania. They're in Oliver Plunkett Street in Cork City. Unfortunately, we had to close the actual shop to the public, but our online shop still delivers all across Ireland, and it's www.candlemania.ie. And they obviously do all sorts of candles. They have a huge range of Yankee candles, essential oils, handmade candles, natural candles, and lots more. They must have cut and pasted that straight from their website. Great motivation for people to stay indoors, and they're surrounded by beautiful candles with a lovely smell. Yeah, absolutely. So it's Candlemania, www.candlemania.ie. You can buy all your candles. Now, Gary, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Gary?
How are you, Noel?
Me old flower.
Yeah, what's the gaucho? What's the crack?
Good to have an old fingless man on the air, huh?
Now start all that. Listen, we know where you're from. You know what I mean? We know where you're originally from. Now start that show you've been out.
I'm from Edenmower.
Edenmower, good man yourself.
So, Gary,
how are you, buddy?
We've 2.5 minutes and you have a poem.
Well, I might have a poem. Well, look, a poem, that's, that, you know, let's put air quotes.
Now, can I, by the way, there's a bit of an echo. Are you in the jacks?
Oh, no, I have to read it off. I'll go somewhere more.
I can still hear you. I was just wondering if there's an echo. Are you in the jacks? I'd hate to think you're talking to me while you're sitting on the toilet.
After the last time we did that, I promise I'll never do it again. A few positive words for Friday.
Right.
What an unusual and scary time we currently find ourselves in. Social distancing, self-isolation. It's hard to know where to begin. Mammy's day with no hug for Mammy. No GAA, no cheering the dubs. And you know it's really serious when they go and close the feckin' pubs. But one thing that these times will highlight is the resilience we all possess. We now have an opportunity to show the world we will pass this test. Look deep inside of you. You'll notice you have understand how we will all come together simply by staying apart. Use this time to get creative, write, dance, even sing. Allow your creativity to flow. You'll be amazed at what your mind brings. Believe completely in you. Know that you are feckin' class. And keep reminding yourself that this too shall pass. We are learning so much about ourselves. We won't take hugs for granted again. We'll soon be wearing the faces off each other and we'll dance naked in the rain. We've discovered new superheroes, doctors and nurses too. And all who work in retail, we're also very grateful for you. So let's keep on doing our bit by basically doing nothing at all. When this is all over, we can all go out and have a feckin' ball. And if you're at a loss, not sure how your day will go, head over to Classic Hits at 12 p.m. and tune into the Noel Boylan Show.
Yeah.
Get up for a minute. Shut up, I'm not finished.
All right, go on, sorry, go on.
He may irritate you, his views may not match your own, but his show is a welcome distraction and you can contact it through your phone. So as I end this poem, the one thing I hope for you all is you're safe and well at this time, and if you ever need me, I'm here. Just give me a call.
Well done, Gary. Thank you very much, Gary. That was absolutely wonderful. You're making me all emotional too, Gary.
I always make you cry. That's handy. Listen, love to everyone out there, especially to you and to you and yours and everyone at Classic Hits.
Are you driving any mad?
This has been for fucking years.
Sorry for the language, Gary.
One thing I just want to say is I really, really hope that the funding keeps coming for you guys, that you get everything you need.
because classic hits and especially your show going off, you get, it's an unbelievable distraction. Even how irritating you can be sometimes, it's distracting people. So let's get behind our local radios. Radio is so important at this time. Let's get behind it and let's make sure you guys get through this crisis too.
All right, listen, Gary, that's wonderful to hear. Thanks very much indeed.
Have a great day. All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
All right, see you. Happy Friday, Gary. Happy weekend. All right, to you and yours as well, and to everybody around you. All right, everybody, please, please stay safe. Loads and loads of businesses, by the way, mentioning the ones mentioned. Can you give us a quick mention? Ken and Colm here. We're open. City Saw Services Limited in Garden and Power Tools and Blade Sharpening. Yeah, so they do all the kind of blade sharpening for your lawnmowers and your power tools and all that kind of stuff. City Saw Services, Ken and Colm, and they're out there in, where are they? Limited. I'm not too sure where they are, but you can look them up online, all right? So it's City Saw Services, all right, if you look them up. All right, you can get anything sharpened or drill bits and all that kind of stuff. They do power tools if you want to buy them, because of course, we're all going to be very busy doing a bit of DIY over the next 2 or 3 weeks, aren't we? So you can get all your tools off them.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.